When a vision becomes clear, today on A Daily Walk.
So often we feel that the Lord has spoken to us something, but we are unsure until we walk it out in faith and we are humble enough to admit that we don't understand and we're prepared to respond obediently when the Lord shows us.
Well, I will walk by faith, well, even when I cannot see, well, because this broken road prepares your will for me.
No doubt you've experienced this before. You receive a vision or message from God and aren't really sure what it means. Then along comes the Lord in a wonderful way to clarify and confirm things for us. Well, that's exactly what happens to Peter in the passage before us. Today on A Daily Walk, God is going to stress to Peter that everyone needs the gospel, Jew and Gentile alike. But how does that relate to our daily walk? Let's join Pastor John Randall and find out. We're in Acts chapter 10.
Acts chapter 10, beginning in verse 17. Now while Peter wondered within himself what this vision which he had seen meant, behold, the men who had been sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house, and they stood before the gate. And they called, and they asked whether Simon, whose surname was Peter, was lodging there. And while Peter thought about the vision, the Spirit said to him, behold, three men are seeking you. Arise, therefore, go down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. I read that in his autobiography, Mahatma Gandhi wrote that when he was a student in England, that he was deeply moved by his reading of the New Testament, and he considered converting to Christianity. And on one Sunday, he visited a church service to ask the pastor for enlightenment on salvation, as well as other doctrines. And when he arrived, because he was dressed like an Indian, the ushers refused to give him a seat and told him to go elsewhere and to worship with his own people. He left and he never went back again. And he said, if Christians have caste differences also, I might as well remain a Hindu. Discrimination is something that we hear a lot about today in our society. There are those who discriminate against others for different reasons. We can discriminate because of someone's appearance, the way they look on the outside. We can become prejudiced because of someone's age. We may think that they are too young or perhaps too old. We can judge a person based upon the country they are from, what language they speak, what color that they are. Also, there are those who demand not to be discriminated against by others, and yet at the same time, they themselves discriminate against others. All of these reasons and more reveal that there is a need to change. As Christians, as followers of Jesus Christ, we need to see people the way that Jesus sees people. And the Bible tells us that God loves the world, that the Lord loves people of every race, of every culture, of every color, of every age, every background. That is why Jesus came and died for the sins of the whole world. And the 10th chapter of the book of Acts is a turning point, not only in the book itself, but also in the history of the early church. It had been 10 years since the day of Pentecost when the Spirit of God had been poured out and the church was born. But in those 10 years, the gospel message had not yet been taken to the Gentiles. By the way, a Gentile is anyone who is not of Jewish descent. One of the reasons why the church had been slow in taking the message to the Gentiles is due to extreme prejudice. The Jews took great pride in being considered the chosen people, which in turn caused them to look down on everyone else who weren't called the chosen people, namely the Gentiles. They believed that there were only two races in the world, the Jews and everybody else. But it was always God's intention to reach the Gentiles so that they could have the opportunity to be saved. In the book of Isaiah, for example, in chapter 42, verse 6, the Lord said through his prophet, "I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness and will hold your hand. I will keep you and give you as a covenant to the people, a light unto the Gentiles." But rather than be a light unto the Gentiles, the Jews were prejudiced against them. But when you come to the book of Acts chapter 10, the Lord's plan of salvation for the Gentiles is revealed. The early church will realize that the gospel is for every person. And the revealing of God's plan concerning the Gentiles started in the area of Joppa, where the apostle Peter was staying at the home of a man whose name was Simon the Tanner. And while waiting for his lunch to be prepared, about 12 noon, Simon Peter went up onto the roof there and he was praying. And while he was praying, he had a vision that he initially did not understand. He saw a large white sheet that was bound at the four corners, and in it were all kinds of four-footed animals, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air, to which a kosher Jewish person would never eat any of those animals or touch them, for they would then themselves be considered unclean. And as Peter sees this vision, he hears a voice saying, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." And immediately he responds and resists that invitation to rise, kill, and eat. Regardless of how hungry he is, he says, "Not so, Lord. I have never eaten anything common or unclean." Then the Lord said unto Peter, "What God has cleansed, you must not call common." And this vision took place three times. And we pick up in verse 17. And the first thing I want you to consider as we read this morning, number one, is Peter's confusion about this vision. Peter's confusion. It says that while Peter wondered within himself, and then it says while Peter thought about the vision. He was wondering about the vision, and he was thinking about the vision. And these two words are significant in the Greek language, and it describes the process that Peter was going through to determine what it was that God had shown him. When it says in verse 17 that Peter wondered, it is a word that means to be perplexed, that he was at a loss. It wasn't clear. He was uncertain. He was confused by what he saw. But then it says that Peter in verse 19, he thought about the vision. And that is a word that means to ponder, to think about, to wrestle with your thoughts in seeking to discern what the vision meant. And I point this out to you to say that I believe that this is something that we as believers go through from time to time. The Lord may show us something from his word, and at first glance, we're at a loss of how it applies to us. We wonder within ourselves, what does this mean? And we begin to pray about it. We seek to have clarification in the midst of our uncertainty. And in time, the Lord will help us to understand what it is that we have seen or what it is that we have read. And so we find, as Peter is thinking about this vision, he's confused by it. The second thing I want to point out to you is the clarification of Peter concerning this vision. Peter's clarification in verse 19, when it says, "The Spirit," that is the Holy Spirit, "said to him, 'Behold, three men are seeking you. Arise, go down and go with them, doubting nothing. I have sent them.' Then Peter went down to the men who had been sent to him from Cornelius and said, 'Yes, I am he whom you seek. For what reason have you come?' And they said, 'Cornelius, the centurion, a just man, one who fears God and has a good reputation among all the nation of the Jews, was divinely instructed by a holy angel to summon you to his house and to hear words from you.' Then he invited them in and lodged them. And on the next day, Peter went away with them, and some brethren from Joppa accompanied him." Now picture this. As Peter is thinking about the vision, pondering it, confused by it, suddenly, the Spirit of God begins to give him clarification. It says the Spirit spoke to him, and there was a knock at the door. Three men are at the door. The Spirit says, "Go downstairs. There's three men waiting for you. I want you to go with them, and I want you to doubt nothing." Now, how the Spirit spoke to Peter, it does not say, but the message that Peter received was clear. The men had been sent by the Lord, and Peter was to go with them. I believe that the Spirit of God still speaks today to God's people in order to help us discern and to determine God's direction for our lives. The primary way that we discover God's will is through God's Word. But I also believe that the Spirit of God can speak to you. He will convict us of sin. He will warn us against temptation. He will prompt us to share the gospel or to minister to the needs of another person. And when that happens, when you are prompted, when you are convicted, when you are warned, usually it comes to your mind in your own voice. It's not Jiminy Cricket. It's not some strange voice, you know, speaking to you. It's your own voice sharing something with you. This is the Lord speaking to you, warning you concerning temptation. Don't go there. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Maybe it's the voice of your wife. Whatever it is, it's the voice of the Holy Spirit, man, speaking to you. And you have the opportunity right then and there to respond to that, to listen to that. That's how the Spirit of God speaks. He speaks to us. For example, today as you're sitting here and we've opened the Word and we're going through the Word of God together, line upon line, precept upon precept, prayerfully, the Spirit of God is going to speak to you at some point in this message concerning something in your life. And when that happens, you feel like, I'm the only person in this room. No, the Spirit of God is just speaking to you directly. Let me add that when the Spirit of God prompts you, speaks to you, that He will never contradict God's Word, ever. If you feel like, well, the Spirit of God told me to do this, if the Spirit of God told you to do something that was contrary to the Word of God, just know this, it wasn't the Holy Spirit. It was your flesh or the carnal nature that you're battling. The Lord will never contradict Himself, tell us to do something that is in direct disobedience to the Word of God, never, because that is something that He cannot do, contradict Himself. But the messengers were sent from the centurion, and they begin to explain to Peter a little more about this man named Cornelius. And I believe that Peter at this point is beginning to understand a little bit more about the vision that he received. Oh, the picture is not complete yet, but it's a little bit clearer. There's a little bit more clarification as to what it meant. He's starting to put two and two together. Let me ask you something. When you were a kid, or maybe not when you're a kid, maybe you still do this. You ever got one of those dot-to-dot drawings? You have, any of you? All right, you know what I'm talking about. If you know your numbers, you can do this. You go from one to two and on and on and on and on. And in the process of the dot-to-dot drawing, you think to yourself, I think I know what this is. And then you realize as you get a little bit farther, you know what? That's not exactly what I thought it was. I thought it was going to be a car. It's a giraffe. It looks nothing like you thought it was. But you didn't realize it until you went through all the dots and you just drew it out and followed the lines and you realize that's what this is. Oh, I had no idea. I think sometimes as a Christian, that's how I feel. As I walk out the will of God for my life, I feel like God's given me, here's one to two. Oh, that's a straight line. I don't know what that is. There's three to four and on it goes. Or actually it's two to three, then three to four. Don't mess me up. Struggling with numbers here. But eventually the picture becomes clear and you realize, Lord, I had no idea what it was that you were doing or where you were leading, but I get it now. It's very clear. That's what's happening to Peter. It's one step at a time. And the way that you discover God's will and the way that the vision is broadened is walking it out by faith, being obedient. The Lord said, I want you to go downstairs and meet with those men. I want you to go with them, doubt nothing. All right, I'll do it because God told him to do it. Something else to note that is a major step in the walls of discrimination coming down is that Peter invited these Gentiles into his house. That would never happen. Jews would not allow Gentiles to stay with them, moreover, break bread with them. That was in violation of centuries of tradition. But I imagine that the words of the Lord spoken to Peter, do not call common what I have cleansed, were ringing in his ears. Peter moves from a place of confusion about the vision to clarification concerning the vision, which in turn led to number three, confirmation concerning the vision. Beginning in verse 24, and the following day they entered Caesarea. Now Cornelius was waiting for them and had called together his relatives and close friends. As Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshiped him. But Peter lifted him up, saying, stand up. I myself am also a man. And as he talked with him, he went in and found many who had come together. And then he said to them, you know how unlawful it is for a Jewish man to keep company with or go to one of another nation. But God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Therefore, I came without objection as soon as I was sent for. And I asked then, for what reason have you sent for me? Now, we know from the book of Acts, chapter 11, that Peter took 6 witnesses with him from Joppa to accompany him, no doubt for accountability's sake. And when they arrived there, we find that Cornelius had been expecting him and brought his household and his friends in, anticipating Peter's arrival. One thing I want to make mention of here as well is that we saw God preparing Peter over here in Joppa to present the gospel. But you also find over here in Caesarea that God had been preparing Cornelius to receive the gospel. I love that the Lord works in that way. Have you ever found that to be true? It is actually a consistent pattern that we've seen throughout the book of Acts. I'll give you some examples. When you look at Philip's life and he goes down to Gaza, you remember he leaves Samaria, goes down to Gaza, doesn't know exactly why, but he's obedient to the call of God. And when he gets there, there's a man, an Ethiopian eunuch, driving in his chariot, happens to be reading the scroll of Isaiah, particular passage that deals with Jesus as the sacrifice. And the Lord had prepared the eunuch and he had prepared Philip, and they met right there in Gaza. God was working on both ends. And then you find also when the Apostle Paul was traveling down the road to Damascus, that the Lord stopped him and he was converted. And then he went into the city and he waited 3 days. Meanwhile, God was preparing a man by the name of Ananias to come, lay hands on Saul of Tarsus that he might receive his sight, be baptized with the Holy Spirit. God was working in both places at the same time, simultaneously, without them knowing that. You know, I've always found great comfort in that. The divine appointments that God sets for us that we aren't necessarily aware of. Whether it's going out into the world or going onto the mission field, I trust that as I'm being prepared here and I go out there, that God's working in them already before I even get there. God goes before us. And Peter was finding this out to be so when he arrived at the home of Cornelius. There's a couple things to make mention of I want to point out as Peter arrives in the centurion's home. For one thing, notice the humility of Peter. For it says, when Cornelius initially saw Peter, he fell down to worship him. He began to worship Peter, and Peter did not say, kiss my ring, did he? No, he picked him up. He said, stand up, for I myself am also a man. You know, there was a time in Peter's life when he may not have lifted Cornelius up, a time when he thought he was more of a man than he really was, boasted of never turning away from Jesus, but walking with Jesus and even failing Jesus and being restored by Jesus brought Peter to a place of humility. He knew that even on his best day, he was simply a man and not worthy of worship, for only one is worthy of worship, and that is Jesus. We not only observe the humility of Peter, but also the honesty of Peter. For Peter said to all those who were gathered, you know how unlawful it is for a Jewish man to come into a home of a Gentile, to come to another nation. But God showed me something. I love this. God showed me not to call any man common or unclean. Peter's completely honest with Cornelius. He was breaking tradition. He was willing to do so because the Lord had showed him to do so. And Peter, by being honest with Cornelius, wanted him to know that this meeting was ordained by God. But also make note of the words that Peter spoke when he says in verse 28, God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean. When Peter says, God has shown me, it means to expose the eyes. In other words, God has opened my eyes. When Peter first saw the vision, he was confused by it. He resisted it. He pondered it. But now he is beginning to understand it. His eyes are being opened. With every step that he takes, the Lord is showing him a little bit more, a little bit more. Here's a little bit more of understanding. And he reiterates the words that the Lord spoke to him in the vision to begin with. God has shown me. I'm not supposed to call any man, any Gentile, any person common or unclean. That was part of the vision that he began to understand as his eyes were being opened. And again, so often, as it is the case with us, we feel that the Lord has spoken to us something, but we are unsure until we walk it out in faith and we are humble enough to admit that we don't understand and we're prepared to respond obediently when the Lord shows us. And that's what's happening to Peter. I see a little bit clearer. I understand a little bit more. But there was still more to the vision. Keep in mind, 10 years since the church had started, the ministry of the Apostle Peter had begun 10 years ago. And although he had taken the gospel in different directions, Peter still had to learn some things. 10 years of serving the Lord, he had to be taken aside, and the Lord had to show him specifically that there's more to the ministry than what you've experienced up to this point. There's more that I want you to see. There's more of my heart, the Lord would say to Peter, that you don't yet understand. There's a part of you that isn't conformed to my image yet, and this is what I want to show you. And so he took him aside to the home of this centurion to make him see that everybody needs the gospel. And I realized if Peter, after 10 years, still had stuff to learn, the apostle Peter, don't you know that we have stuff we still need to learn as we walk with the Lord? And there are times that God will take us aside and show us things that maybe we did not see before. And I can use myself as a personal example. This last week, I was on vacation with my family. We were staying down near the beach. And while we were there, I was amazed at how many foreigners were there. Foreigners meaning people from other countries. I was just shocked. And primarily, Middle Eastern foreigners. And you can tell them by the clothes that they wear, the coverings, and you know, at the beach, it's very uncommon to see that. But there was tons of them. And, you know, as we were sitting there, I was watching my daughter play in the water and just enjoying the day. And, you know, when you're foreign, you don't, there's certain things you don't understand. One of the things you don't understand is beach etiquette. You don't know. You're foreign. You don't understand. So I'm sitting there watching, and you come and sit right in front of me with your entire family so I can't see my daughter. So I was just kind of like, man, foreigners, where are they coming from? They're everywhere. You know, that was my initial reaction. And then as the week progressed, I was looking at a family that came up and sat near us. And the two ladies, the wife and the daughter, had all the covering on. And the man just sat there and fully, you know, all no short, just fully clothed, just jeans, t-shirt. I mean, just it was just so interesting to watch them. And I must tell you, in light of all that's been going on around the world at the present time, my heart was not, you know, I should probably go share Jesus with those people. My heart was, I need to protect my family. Because if they believe what the news has put on says that they believe, and if that's their heart, if that's their desire, I have to be protective. Listen, this is a really important point, so just pause for a minute. It was a revelation. But I'm sitting there, and I realize I was more protective. I wasn't necessarily interested in their salvation. All I cared about was the protection of my family. And the Lord began to minister to my heart. It's as if he took me aside to speak to me. And if you look beyond the outward appearance, if you look beyond all of that, what does Jesus see? Jesus sees the soul of a person. Jesus sees a life that he came and died for, that he shed his blood for, that he longs to see in heaven to be saved. And I thought to myself, you know, if those people were back in their own country, they would not have the opportunity to hear the gospel. They would hear, leave, convert, or die. But for some reason, God brought them here in a free country so that perhaps there would be believers who would have a heart enough to share the love of Jesus with them. At that moment, I did not get up and go speak with them. I was with my family. I was playing with my kids. But I'll tell you this, the Lord dealt with my heart and began to say to me, like he said to Peter, don't you call common or unclean what I want to cleanse. And I think that's something that we need to hear in the church.
We're going through the book of Acts with Pastor John Randall on A Daily Walk, and you can listen again online at adailywalk.org. If you'd rather have a CD copy, we can send that to you for a cost of $5. Just call us toll-free at 888-253-1280. And there are a couple of other ways to hear Pastor John. You can listen to our podcast through iTunes or download our app. Do a search for CCSJC, and after you've enjoyed the content, share it with your friends through social media. A Daily Walk is supported by listeners like you. As we continue to deliver the word over stations like this, we'd appreciate you standing with us with either a one-time gift or ongoing support. You can donate safely and securely at adailywalk.org or write to A Daily Walk, 31612 El Camino Real, San Juan Capistrano, California, 92675. Well, this month we're offering Pastor Chuck Smith's book, Effective Prayer Life. Prayer is a privilege and a powerful tool at our disposal. But if you're like many, you could use a little encouragement in this area on how to pray more effectively. Allow Pastor Chuck to point the way in this short and easy-to-read book. We'll send you a copy of Effective Prayer Life for a cost of just $5. Order right now by calling 888-253-1280 or go online to adailywalk.org. It never grows old hearing about the great things God is accomplishing through the radio. Please share your story so we can go to the Lord with thanks. Our email address is adailywalk@gmail.com or call 888-253-1280. We have another study in Acts to look forward to next time on A Daily Walk with Pastor John Randall. Until then, may the Lord richly bless you in your daily walk.
Well, I will walk by faith. Well, even when I cannot see. Well, because this broken